Okay, before we start, I want to introduce our guests today, Kevin and Shari from the other side of the state, Auburn Hills. They're going to be our guest speakers this morning. I don't know what God has planned through them, but I'm sure it's going to be great. I'm going to give you a little lesson on worship before the message comes. God did this with me this morning, and it was very effective because I thought I really did worship the right way. And I found something out this morning. So I would like you to take 5 minutes right now, and I would like you to worship Him on paper. I'd like you to just write out your worship. You make it line by line, whatever, write whatever, but I want you just to worship God for 5 minutes. No one else is going to read this, just you. Just God. Okay, put that aside. We're going to come back and look at that in a few minutes. I want to show you something about worship. There's a difference in praise and worship. There's a difference in prayer and worship. There's a difference in our confession time and our worship. So today I want you to just be able to separate those things and see an overall picture. The first thing, when we want to come to God, the first thing we need is confession. We have to get empty before we can come into His presence. We have to get empty. Confession is about me. It's about me getting ready to come to God. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." How can I worship Him if my heart is holding sin? So I can't worship until I confess my sin, get my heart clean and free. And we don't even always know what's in our own heart. So we need to go to Psalm 139. "God, search me, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Sometimes I'm in God's presence and I think I'm doing okay, and He'll start telling me about something. The other day He said, "This heart, you know, is angry and we need to turn it back to me." And I said, "Oh, that's really grievous. You know, what are they angry about?" And He started telling me, and I said, "Well, who is it?" And He said, "It's you." I went, "What? I didn't know I was angry, you know?" And He said, "Yes, you're angry with yourself for things of the past that you messed up. And you really need to forgive yourself, because that spirit of anger is gripping your heart like a python squeezing the life out of you. Condemning yourself is a sin. That is not the voice of God. He forgave you. You need to forgive you. But there are things we need to say, God, is there anything? Is there any deception? Is there any anger? Is there any bitterness? Is there anyone I need to forgive? If we don't forgive others, He doesn't forgive us. It doesn't have to do with your salvation. It has to do with your life flow. So we need to get ourselves ready to come and worship Him by getting the sin out of our heart. That's all about me. Worship is all about Him.
Right.
The second thing we need to do, we need to pray. We need to get all of our needs prayed out, because our needs are about me. They're not about God. They're not about worship. They're about me. And I can't purely worship Him when I'm still full of me and what I need. God, I need my rent paid. God, I need food on the table. God, I need wisdom to do my job. God, I need to be more like You. God, I am so not like You. I try to walk with You, but I keep doing this, and I keep doing that, and I keep failing, and I need so much from You. You can't worship Him when you're full of you
right. And
your needs. You need to pray. Get empty of sin. Pour out. Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him." God is a refuge for us. See that. Think about it. You must pour out everything you need to Him. If you don't do that, it just proves you don't trust Him. He's not your only hope. Now, when you pour out your needs and walk away still worrying, you didn't trust Him.
Right.
There was no trust.
Right.
Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful," or worried, full of care. "Be careful, be worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." And the peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Several times when we pray, it tells us that we need to be thankful when we pray. Just praying it isn't enough. You won't be thankful until you know that you have committed it to Him. You've given it to Him.
Right.
Then the peace of God fills you because you've given Him the problems. So the prayer is about me. All of my needs. Giving them to Him in a way that I'm saying, maybe they're not solved yet, but my soul, wait thou only upon God. All my hope, my expectation is from Him. Psalm 62, 5. It's there somewhere. So when I take a need to God, I'm working on this game, and we're at a point for the phone application part. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I am in over my head. And the programmer keeps sending me, this is not what I want. You need to do this. And I try to do that, and he says, no, that's not what I want. You need to do this. And I'm going, God, I don't know what the guy's talking about. His intelligence is like up there, and mine is down here. My skill, my ability, down here. And I've even thought, I got to get out of this. They need to find someone that knows how to do this. God says, no, you're going to do it. Well, how am I going to do it? How do I do what I can't do? Prayer. I take it to God and I tell Him, you told me to do it. It is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You told me to do it, God. I can't. But your strength is made perfect in my weakness. So here's my weakness. Come and get strong. You said you would. Now, when I really believe that's going to work, I start thanking Him for it. Thank you, God, you're going to do this. Thank you. I haven't seen it happen yet, but I know your word is true. Thank you for what you're going to do. See, prayer is about me. All my needs, my heart poured out. Prayer is about who I care about. My children, my loved ones, the little sick girl in the hospital that isn't healed yet, but God keeps saying He will heal her. My prayers are about her. But they're not about Him. It's not worship. It's prayer. Thanksgiving is a key. That's the next point. Thanksgiving. So we need to confess our sin. We need to pray out all of our needs for self and for others. Get empty of me and everything about me. And then I need to enter thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving is the transition. Thanksgiving is the key to leave me and enter Him. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. I will praise the name of God with song, and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30. Psalm 95:2. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. This is where we get excited by faith for what we have not seen. This is where we let it go because now God's got it. This is where I leave me and come into the gate. Come into the very courts of God in thanksgiving. I thank you for what I know you can do. I thank you you've heard me. I thank you you've got it, God, and I can let go of it now. You forgave me. Thank you. You're going to solve my problems. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is where worship gets exciting. This is where, not worship, I'm sorry, praise. This is where we praise. We celebrate. We clap. We dance. Because of what God has done. Because of what God's going to do. Because we believe Him by faith. That's praise. Praise is the celebration of thankfulness to God. But it's not worship. When we pass beyond that and we come to worship, now it's all about Him. Now it's all about Him. Worship is where it's only about Him. If I came to my daughter and I want to worship her or who she is, I might say, Janiya, you're such a wonderful girl. You're so loving and compassionate. And I know you love your family, but me, love me, touch me, kiss me. I want you to love me. That's taking. That's not giving her praise. It's trying to take what she is into me. That's trying to get her to do something for me again. When you love someone, it's give to them. And when we worship God, it's all about Him, who He is. His character, His beauty of His holiness. That's worship. And you can't just go straight there. You have to confess your sin. You have to pray and pour out your heart, give Him your needs. You have to be thankful by faith and praise Him. And then you're ready to worship. Now you're ready to worship, and it's all about Him. It should not be hard to worship. The reason it's hard is because we bring our sins, we bring our needs, we bring ourselves, and it keeps interrupting our worship. Because we're consumed with us, we're not consumed with Him. Psalm 29:2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." What is holiness? What is His glory? It's His very presence. It is Him. If you have not been there, then you don't understand that word. But if you have been there, all of a sudden, there He is. You can't help but worship. The angels fall down going, "Holy, holy, holy." And what is holiness? It's the character of God. It's who He is. It is to know Him intimately. His peace floods you and the smile comes on your face. His peace overwhelms you and you're at rest. His love heals your heart. You're just, He's so beautiful. He's so good. He's so kind. He's so merciful. He's the healer. When you enter His presence, you worship Him purely. Purely. It's hard because we keep interrupting that with what we need. And there's an example for us. Well, first of all, John 4:24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." You have to have His spirit in you to worship Him. You must be born of the Spirit to worship in the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you don't have a clue what worship is. Then we have an example in Revelation. The 4:20, 4:10-11. The 4:20 elders fell down before Him that sat on the throne and worshipped Him that lives forever and ever. They fell down. They became humble. They didn't care who was looking. They fell down into humility. And they cast their crowns before Him. They didn't care about possessions. They didn't care about money. Saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You have..." Hold on. "For You have created all things, and for You, Your pleasure they are and were created." I love creativity. And I love this verse because it said, "For Your pleasure they are and were created." He didn't create and then sit down and get bored for eternity. He keeps creating. He is so creative. I love creativity. And we try to stifle it because we want to fit into a mold that's acceptable. Can't do that. God is constantly creative. So now I want to go back. I'm going to read you my worship, and I'm going to show you what's wrong with it. Because, like I said, I thought I had it. You know, I thought I had it right. So God told me to do that little test this morning. He said, "Now, get out your pen. Every line that is strictly about you, I put a Y. Every line that's about me, I put an M." I really thought I was just purely worshiping this morning, and I wasn't. Listen to this. "Your gentle, sweet spirit floods me with peace." Me. "Your countenance overwhelms me with joy." I'm looking for that too. I'm not just telling Him how good He is at it. I'm wanting it to happen. You know, I'm here to get something. "Your holiness is beautiful to see." You are pure and good. You are kind and merciful. You. "Unrelenting love pursues me." Come on, God. Pursue me. "You are so unselfish and meek and humble. Mighty, full of power, You. I see You in the Word. Your life lived as a sacrifice, You. You had no home, no comforts, yet no complaints, You. You had no wife, no family, friends who were just totally selfish, You. You, yet You loved them and continually forgave them, You. You treated inferiors with respect, You. And hypocrites with a bold rebuke, You. You never wavered from Your purpose, You. You set Your mind and Your heart to do it, You. You didn't care about money, You. You never compromised, You. You did not seek Your own pleasure or Your comfort or defend Yourself. All about You. You are so full of compassion. You. You healed everyone who came to you, coming to you, not to the person who talked about you, to you. I come to you right now. Me, I turned my whole worship around. What do I want? Because you are my hope. I need hope. You are my life. Me. You are my love. Me. You are my righteousness, and only in you. You are the virtue and the compassion within me. You, mighty God, holy God, you're the breath of life in me. What I'm really doing is begging him because I'm wanting all this to start happening for me, you know. You are life. You're the word. You're the breath. You're love. These words are not just words. They're alive. They're you. All about you. You are life. You are love. You are breath. You are fire. You are holy. Oh, my merciful holy God, all about you. Breathe on me. Breathe in me. Breathe through me. Breathe your life. Breathe your love. Breathe your mercy. Breathe your fire. Breathe your virtue. Breathe your wisdom, your revelation, your healing, your restoration, your truth, your freedom into me. I want to breathe you in. Me. I want to be immersed in your breath. Me. I'm here to get something, God. Set me free from pride and selfishness. Sounds like a confession. That doesn't belong here. Set me free from doubt and tears. Set me free from deceptions. And set me free from my own ambition. Set me free from laziness and distraction. Set me free from greed of money. Set me free from condemnation. Set me free from fear and jealousy. Set me free from self and Satan, so that I can just be filled with you. Breathe yourself into all of me. Now, are these good words? Yeah. But do they belong in worship? They belong in my prayer life. I want you to put the M's and the Y's in your paper. And I want you to circle the M's because you are very important to God. I want you to circle the M's and move them to your confession life. Move them to your prayer life where they belong, so that you move you out of worship and make it about him. They're good things. He wants you to pray them. He wants you to think them and feel them. But they belong in the preparation for worship, not in the worship. Worship is all about adoring him. And we have to prepare ourselves by letting him meet our needs, letting him forgive our sins, thanking him in praise, so we're ready to worship. Because when this body does this, and we enter into true and pure worship, God is going to fall in this place like you have never seen before. So let's prepare to worship. Normally, we would go into a little worship, but I really want that to sink in. I want you to take it home. I don't want to rush you through doing it. Like, okay, 5 minutes confession, 5 minutes prayer, now in 5 minutes let's thank, now let's worship. I want you to take it home and really internalize it and do it. And then come back tonight and be ready. Come tonight and be ready. And if you come tonight and you're not ready, come anyway. And perhaps we will have a time tonight where we'll help you get ready. Don't not come because you're not ready. We'll help you get ready. Okay?